Morning, we want to read from two passages of Scripture, one in the Old Testament and one in the New. If you can hold your place, find your place in Exodus chapter 20, and then turn, please, in the New Testament to Romans chapter 13. Thank you, Troy. Exodus chapter 20 and Romans chapter 13. We're beginning this morning a series of sermons that will hold our attention, I trust, for much of this year. Some years, probably 5, maybe almost 10 years, we've been hoping to do a series of studies on the Ten Commandments. I'm going to encourage parents to teach your children the Ten Commandments. In fact, every family in which the children learn the Ten Commandments, as many of them as are old enough to memorize verses, pastor will have a reward. I won't tell you this week. Now, some of you say, I don't have any kids. Can I get a reward too? I'm very gracious about these things, okay? So come and talk to me about this. Ralph knows what the reward is at school for kids who memorize the Ten Commandments. And if your curiosity is killing the cat, go in to ask Mr. Ralph, okay? And he'll tell you what the reward is at school. It's the same at church. Heavenly Father, we're going to open the Scriptures together, and we don't want to come to the Word of God with closed hearts. An open Bible in a closed heart. What a tragedy that would be. And we're thankful that we have the very Word of God, and you've inspired it and preserved it for us. And you will even illuminate our hearts with what we read in the Word if we have open hearts. So we're praying for that enlightenment that only you can give. Lord, we know that the preacher doesn't know what we need to know. It's the Holy Spirit that knows. And so we're asking, Lord, for guidance into truth today. Please do all those wonderful things you want to do in our lives. We are available. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. From the 20th chapter of Exodus, verse number 1, And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now you can turn in your Bibles now, and you can leave Exodus chapter 20 there for us to look at again another day. And turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 13, the 13th chapter of Romans. Three verses here, beginning in verse 8. Romans 13 and verse 8, if you have your place. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. To study the Ten Commandments is a massive undertaking. If we identify the three main documents in the Bible, we would say the creation account, the giving of the Ten Commandments, and the gospel. We probably would say that those are the three greatest documents in all the Word of God, and all of it is inspired. Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, all of the Bible is inspired. Every word of God is pure, Proverbs 30, verse 5. We agree wholeheartedly, but for us to focus on any portion of the Word of God, we find that we are guppies swimming over the Marianas Trench. We are just out of our depth entirely. So ask the question this morning, how do we approach, as born-again Christians, how do we approach the Ten Commandments? I need to tell you something out of my own experience. When I was a young Christian at the age of 19 years old and began reading my Bible, somewhere or other I picked up an error. And you may have picked it up as well. Somewhere or other, I came to believe that people in the Old Testament, before the Lord Jesus came into the world, before the Lord Jesus died on the cross, before the gospel was preached, I came to believe wrongly that people in the Old Testament were saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. Did you know the Bible doesn't teach that? There's not a verse in the Old or New Testament that teaches that people were saved by the works of the law. In fact, to the opposite, to the contrary. We're in the book of Romans now. Turn back with me to Romans chapter 3. Hold your place there if you want. Romans chapter 3, and read along with me verse 20. Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, by the works of the law, by keeping the Ten Commandments, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, the law does not save us, but it shows us our sinfulness. And by the deeds of the law, no flesh is justified in God's sight. Then, just a few verses further down, read with me from Romans chapter 4, verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Salvation was by faith, by grace through faith in the Old Testament, just as it is in the New Testament. Abraham believed God, and God imputed it to him for righteousness. Look in verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Worketh not, but believeth. In the Old Testament as well as the New, salvation has always been by grace through faith. I wonder how many of you ever fell into the trap. You don't have to hold your hand up. Sometimes we can get a unanimous vote in a Baptist church. This might be one of those times. How many of you ever fell in the trap of thinking that in the Old Testament, people were saved by keeping the law? Were any of you dumb like me? No, you were all smart. I am so glad that I'm keeping company with people who are so wise. You know, when we're little, when we're children, did any of you ever make great mistakes when you were children? Did you ever misunderstand things in the Bible? I had a friend who told me, there's an old hymn, we don't have it in our hymnal, and it's called, Gladly the Cross I'd Bear. And it's not talking about a bear named Gladly, but he thought it was. He thought there was a bear named Gladly, and he was cross-eyed. Gladly the cross-eyed bear. But that's not what he's talking about. When I was a little boy about as big as Jeshua, I would see the ushers come by with the offering plates, and they would pass the plates up and down the row, and people would put money in, and the pastor would say, now, we're going to give to the Lord. And I would sit there in the pew, and I would think, how are they going to get this money up to God? Do they carry it up in an airplane? I loved airplanes. Carry it up in an airplane as high as they can, and an angel comes down and gathers it up and takes it the rest of the way up to God. And then I'd say, what's he going to spend it on up there? And I had all these thoughts like this. Did any of you ever think like that? Am I the only bonkers person here today? Any of you ever have thoughts like that as little boys and girls? Any of you have thoughts like that as big boys and girls? Any of you grandpas that are little boys in old men's bodies, do you ever think like that? Well, I have to tell you that I had it all wrong about the Ten Commandments. And there are some sad results that arise from us thinking wrongly about the Ten Commandments, as though the Ten Commandments would save us if we could keep them. No human being, apart from the Lord Jesus, who was God in the flesh, has ever kept the law of God. One of the sad results that arises out of us thinking that the Ten Commandments could save people in the Old Testament, but it no longer works, and now we're saved through the gospel. One of the sad results out of that is that in the back of our mind, we work the reasoning out. Therefore, law is bad and gospel is good. Have any of you thought that thought? Law is bad and gospel is good. I want you to look in your Bibles just a few pages earlier than Romans 13 and read with me in Romans 7. Now, as over the last 40 years, as I've been trying to purge these wrong thoughts out of my mind, I keep coming across verses that speak about the law of God in a very positive way. Romans chapter 7, verse number 11 says, "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is what? Holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good." Let's pull the handbrake on a moment. Is the law, is the commandment, are the commandments of God bad? No, they're holy, and just, and good. Verse 13 goes on to say, "Was then that which is good," that's the law of God, "made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good," which is the law of God, "that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful." Pardon me. If we have wrong thoughts about any part of the Word of God, those wrong thoughts will rob us of much blessing. So, if you can keep your place in Romans 13, I want you to turn with me to the little book of 1 John, toward the end of our Bibles, the fifth last book, I believe it is, 1 John chapter 5. Because when we study the Ten Commandments, there is a great surprise. And I want to show you this in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 1. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." This is the new birth. We're talking about being begotten of God. Born not of the flesh or the will of the flesh, but of God. Born of God. We are newborn, born-again creatures when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. And then verse 1 goes on to say, and everyone that loveth him that begat. We love God. We love him also that is begotten of him. We have a dear preacher friend that said to me one time, said to us in a sermon one time, he said, if you love me, you're going to have to love my kids. That's a big ask, isn't it, in some cases? Well, if you love me, you're going to have to love my kids. He said, why do I say that? Because verse 1 says, if you love God, you have to love his children. If you love him that begat you, made you born again, then you need to love those others that are begotten of him. You love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I want you to take note, first of all, of that very last phrase in verse number 3. This verse says, this part of the verse says, God's commandments, his commandments, are not what? Grievous. That word grievous is the word that means heavy or weighty or burdensome. Can you get the picture in your mind of a man with a ball and chain? Can you get that picture in your mind? Some of you have been around a long time. You remember that they used to picture people in prison as having an outfit with stripes on it. Okay? And on their leg, they had this shackle around their leg and a chain. And on the end of the chain was a big iron ball. Any of you relate to that picture? Only us old wrinklies, we relate to that picture. You young people, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. But God is saying to us here in this passage of Scripture, the commandments of God are not a ball and chain. Can you picture that? Because a lot of people, when they think about religion, I expect this is one reason why so many people say, no, I'm not coming to church. I'm not religious, because they see faith in Christ, obedience to God, as being like a ball and chain. And we used to see drawings or sometimes photographs, I guess, of a fellow that picks up this big heavy ball and he walks off down the hallway to the chow hall, to the place where they fed the prisoners, and then he puts it down and he sits down at a table and eats. And anywhere he goes, he has to carry around or he has to drag around this ball and chain. That's not what the commandments are. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, the commandments are not grievous. God's commandments are not heavy. But God says that his commandments are instead, they are uplifting and they are enabling. How does that work? Well, he tells us here that because of love for God, it's possible to love our fellow men, to love the neighbors around us. In verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now, who knows by memory John 14, verse 15? Do you know that one? What does that say? Can you remember? If you love me, keep my commandments. What the Lord is telling us here, that love is the, I'm going to say it this way, love is the heartbeat. Love is the heartbeat of all of God's commandments. You go through the Scripture and you find the commands of God. Love for God is the heartbeat of the commandments. Love for our neighbor is the heartbeat of the commandments. Now, we put these verses over here, and I know the print is smaller, and some of you have kindly pointed out a couple of mistakes, and just so you don't spend the rest of the service looking for them, I'll point them out to you. Galatians is supposed to have an S, and thy doesn't have an E in it. Okay, so now you know. All right? We here at Grace Baptist Church try to do something to please everybody, so we always include a few mistakes for people who are looking for them. No, the brother that printed these out down in Melbourne, I'm going to have a word with him about his spelling. He said he will send us corrections and we can put those there. I might just mention, pause just a moment here so you can catch your breath. On this portion of the wall over here, we're going to put more verses. We're going to put the great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy might, with all thy strength. We're going to put that there. And then here we're going to put, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then below that, we're going to put the first four commandments of the ten. And below this one, we'll put the last six commandments of the ten. And through the year, I'm going to be asking our fellows that preach to help us work our way through all of these to great benefit for ourselves and to the glory of God. Now that leaves a portion of the wall over there that has nothing on it. And you're going to start calling this church Pastor's Indoor Advertising. But we're going to put verses over there as well, all the way down that portion of the wall over there that have to do with what the Bible says about the law of God. But this morning, I just want to talk to you about love being the basis for obedience to God's commandments. How do I know I love God? It has to do with the obedience to His commandments and the attitude I have toward obeying His commandments. Let me give you just an illustration of this. Now, just suppose that we had someone in the church that had just recently gotten married. Can you suppose that? You notice I'm not looking at them. I'm avoiding. I'm going to preach over here to the choir that I'm not looking at this couple that's just gotten married. But suppose the husband one morning wakes up at 5:30 in the morning and he says to his wife, "Wifey dear," no, they're sitting over here. I thought you were over there. Wifey dear, I really would like some waffles for breakfast this morning. And she says, "Oh, yes, I'll leap out of bed and I'll quickly get washed and dressed and I'll get in the kitchen and I'll do this just right away. Would you mind washing the clothes, putting them in the washing machine and hanging them out for me? Oh, I'll be so happy to do that. And while it's at, well, as soon as I've done that, I'll sweep and mop the floor so you don't have to do that during the day today. And I'll feed the dog and the cat while I'm at it, and the bird. And I'll do all of these things." She said, "Oh, that's so wonderful. What I'll do for you, because I love you so much, is I'll not only make you waffles, but I will heat up the maple syrup. It's even better that way. And I'll get some ice cream out of the freezer and put on the waffles. And you can have walnuts and cherries on top if you want them." And there's this wonderful, just this wonderful interaction. And everybody says, "Pastor, what planet are you from?" I'm actually from the planet Earth. And I'm telling you the way things work in the home when there's love between the husband and the wife. I say to my sweetheart, "What proves to you more than anything else how much I love you? Is it chocolate?" And she says, "No." I say, "Is it flowers?" "No." "Is it washing the dishes?" "A little bit." I say, "What really proves to you that I love you?" And she says, "When you make the bed for us, when you put the clothes in the washing machine, when you hang them out, when you bring them in, when you fold them up and you put them away, and you carry the rubbish out and you take it to the curb and bring it in when it's been emptied, that really proves that you love me." You know what she's saying? She's saying that obedience to even unexpressed commands — we're not saying that wives boss the husband around, but you know what I mean — that those are the proofs of love. That's the heartbeat of the commandments, is whether there's love there behind our obedience to God's commandments. So if the husband says to the wife at 5:30 in the morning, "Do you think we can have waffles for breakfast this morning?" And she says, "Nah, take care of yourself. There's some leftover toast from last Wednesday's breakfast. You could always heat that up." I would be concerned as a husband. And so he'd better get back to romancing his wife again really quick. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? Oh, dear friends. Newborn Christians, in the flush of that first love for Christ, Oh, wow, it's wonderful to be saved. Oh, glory, my sins are gone. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven. I've got to tell everybody I know. I haven't told that lady in the third house down the street. I better go see her this morning. And if somebody says, you know, there's an all-night prayer meeting planned for Friday night after youth group. Yes, I'll be there. Oh, no worries about this. When the offering plate is passed, that newborn Christian says, I'll row first, please, please. You rest you guys, there might not be any room in the offering plate for your offering because what we're going to put in like this. And there's this excitement and joyfulness about wanting to please the Lord and serve the Lord. I knew a fellow that was a gambler and he was converted, Robert Carlock. He was a gambler in Chicago and his brother told him there's lots of money to be made out of these suckers in Fort Worth and Dallas. Why don't you come down and set up a gambling setup down here and you can rip them off. But he said, when I came down there, I found out they weren't as dumb as I thought they were. And instead of me making a lot of money gambling, I didn't make any money gambling. So I'm sitting at home one night watching a television, and an evangelist came on preaching the simple gospel of Christ. And he said, that's what I need. He said, I got down on my knees. My wife was out somewhere, asked the Lord to save me. So excited about being a new Christian. I didn't know what to call it. I didn't know about born again. All I knew was I'd asked the Lord to come into my heart, take my sins away. So he said, I didn't know how to tell my wife. I didn't know what words to use. She came home, went to bed. I couldn't sleep, so I rang up a preacher in the middle of the night. Got him out of bed. I said, preacher, I need to talk to you. He said, yeah, come to my office in the morning, 9 o'clock. He said, no, I mean right now. So the preacher said, okay, meet you at the church. And he went through the gospel with this newborn Christian. And he said, yes, 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 I did that, I did that, I did that. And then he said, I wish this whole building were full of people so I could tell them what happened to me tonight. He said, he asked the preacher, he said, when are you coming to church next? He said, prayer meetings, I'll be here. What time? He said to him, what time is church on Sunday? Well, Sunday school. He said, I'll be here. Sunday school. No worries. I'll be here. Sunday morning, Sunday night. He said, what else is on? He said, well, there's a ladies meeting. He said, can I come to that? He said, no, you can't come to that. He said, there's a deacons meeting. He said, can I come to that? He said, no, you can't come to that. That's for the deacons. But because he was a newborn Christian in the flesh of that first love for Christ, everything he wanted to do for the Lord. Tell me something else to do for the Lord. A pastor friend of ours told us, he said, you know, we need spiritual addicts. The household of Stephanus was addicted to the ministry of the saints. We need some people that are addicted to the ministry of Christ to such an extent that they say to the preacher, preacher, if you don't give me a job, I'm going to shoot myself. I'm addicted. Oh, how there ought to be that love and a desire to obey the commandments of God, a yearning after the commandments of God. Ask yourself this question. Is service to God a burden to you? The commandments of God are not grievous. The Bible says, God says. Is service to God a burden to you? Now, what does that tell us about our love for Christ? Is it hard for you to do something God has told you He wants you to do? What does it tell you about your love for Christ if you say that's too hard, that's too much, that's too tough? The first surprise for us in studying the Ten Commandments is that the Ten Commandments and obedience to God's law are based on our love for God and our love for our neighbor. Turn back with me to Romans chapter 13. I want to call your attention to something that's here in these verses. You'll notice at the end of verse 8, the phrase, he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Then in verse 9, at the first of the verse, for this... And he lists five commandments. We'll look at them in a moment. In the middle of the verse, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And in verse 10, the end of the verse, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Do you understand why I'm saying to you that love for God, love for our fellow men is the heartbeat of obedience to God's commandments? Can you understand that? I'm going to say that so many times to you in the next year that you're finally going to say, when I open my mouth to say it, you're going to quote it to me. Love for God and love for our neighbor is the heartbeat of obedience to God's commandments. Commandments in the Old Testament, commandments in the New Testament, commandments in the law, commandments outside the law. Love for God and love for our neighbor is the heartbeat of obedience to the law. Can you see Galatians 5, verse 14? For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Can you see that? Love is the heartbeat of obedience to God. So let me talk to you about these commandments just for a moment here. First thing we notice in regard to the commandments that are listed here in Romans chapter 13, the first thing that we notice here is that we get a corrected definition of love. I think possibly one of the devil's greatest masterpieces is the confusion in people's mind about what love is. Do you agree? I really believe that the devil has confused the thinking of the human race on regard to what love is. Hollywood tells us it's passion or lust. The greenies would tell us it's our attitude toward baby seals and polar bears and coral reefs. New evangelicals that are on their way to becoming theological modernists and liberals, they're just in progress to get there. New evangelicals would tell us that it is tolerance toward every religious viewpoint. I think about the young man who said to his pastor, I read some time ago, he said, Pastor, I really appreciate your ministry so much. When I first came to this church, I didn't love anybody but myself. Now I love everybody. I love God, I love the devil, I just love everybody. And that is the attitude that is in people's minds today when they think about being tolerant of error. It would do us good to go to Mark chapter 1 or chapter 2, where the Lord Jesus said to the demons when they cried out and identified him for who he was, but it wasn't time yet. And he said to them, be silent, be quiet, be muzzled. And one of the Greek language commentators said that the Lord Jesus was so intolerant toward the devil and his demons that he literally said in the vernacular, in the common language of the street, the Lord Jesus said to the devil, shut up. Wow, we don't have the right to do that. We don't have the authority to do that. But it tells us something about the tolerant attitude for evil that is present in our world today, in the churches today. There's such a tolerant attitude. But love here in Scripture is described as doing good to others. I think one of the great mistakes that we make is that we have a romantic affection toward people. And if we have a romantic affection toward people, we think we love that person. But if we don't have a romantic affection toward that person, then we don't think we have any obligation to love that person. I want you to take notice in Scripture that the definition of love is primary. First up, it's a choice to act or serve another person for their good. Number one, it's a choice. It's not, number one, an emotion. It's not, number one, romantic. It's not number one, feelings. Number one, it is the choice to serve that person and to work good for that person, to be a help to that person, no matter what your feelings are. That's difficult to digest, isn't it? Because our whole world is saying to us, you have to be romantic and you have to be emotional and it has to be huggy-smoochy, warm fuzzy teddy bear, Valentine's Day cards and chocolates. And if I feel that way toward someone, then I could do something for them. That's not biblical at all. The Lord Jesus said, love your what? Enemies. I have to tell you that I have lots of enemies. Let's don't have a comparison to who's got the most. But I have to confess also that I don't feel very huggy-smoochy toward them. And yet the Lord says that I am to serve them for their own good in obedience to the commandment of God, choosing to serve that person. Suppose, I'm not going to name anyone, put you on the spot, but suppose you're driving down the road and you see your worst enemy with a puncture on their tire, on their car. Are you going to go like this as you go by? Go like this as you go by, or are you going to pull over and change their tire? Now, do you have romantic feelings toward them? Do you have emotional softness toward them? Do you feel a warm, fuzzy teddy bear in your heart toward them? No. But they need help, and you have this opportunity to do it for them. How many of you are familiar with Corrie Ten Boom? Do you know the name Corrie Ten Boom? She and her family were in Holland, and they were hiding Jews from the Nazi soldiers that were looking for them to put them in prison camps. And they were hiding Jews in their home, and they got caught. I think, if I remember correctly, that her mother and father were executed, and she and her sister were put in a prisoner of war camp. And in the prisoner of war camp, they were treated terribly. I don't even know all the details, but they were treated terribly. When the war was over and they were released, she was a Christian before the war started. She was in a meeting one time, and who should walk in the door but one of the guards that had abused her terribly in the prisoner of war camp. And he walks in the door, and he walks up to her and extends his hand out toward her, and he says, sister, I'm now a believer in the Lord Jesus. And she said, there was no warmth in my heart toward him at all, but I knew the command. Love your brother. And so she said, I reached out my hand and I took his hand in obedience, an act of the will, obedience, a loving act to serve this man who professes Christ. And she said, and when I gripped his hand in obedience, then the emotions turned on. That's the biblical approach. Why do I say that? Because in Romans chapter 13, consider this, and then we'll close. Very simply, verse number 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandments briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So why would a Christian avoid adultery or stealing or coveting or bearing false witness or murder? Why would we avoid those things? Because we love the person that could be committed against. I look around the congregation this morning. Here's Carl Horman back there. I value him as a dear brother and friend in the Lord. Could I steal from Carl? No. Brother Carl, I love you in the Lord. How could I steal from you? Sometimes he's gone for weeks. What would it be like if Pastor went up to his house and prowled around to see what he could pinch? That'd be terrible. The indictment is not only stealing, the indictment is I didn't love you if I did that. How could I covet what you have? Hey, Norm trades in his old Landy for a new one. Could I covet his Landy? No, I couldn't. I love him. He's my brother. If let's suppose that Phil Driedger gets given a brand new high-ace van, all the mod cons, every sort of gimmick on it you can think of. Could I covet your van? No, I couldn't covet your van. I love you, brother. And this is what God's Word is saying to us here, that the heartbeat of obedience to God's commandments has to do with love for others. There is so much to tell you. Unless we go beyond what the Lord wants us to talk about today, I'm going to stop just with this. When I was a little boy, about as big as Jonah, back here, little Jonah, not big Jonah. When I was a little boy, about as big as Jonah, I had to walk about 3 blocks to school. Seemed like it was 3 kilometers. And I used to walk 3 blocks to school. And my mother had some really good laws for me. She had mother commandments. They're some of the best. And she used to say to me, now, you know, when you get down to that last block before the school, cross over on the other side of the road because there's that big dog behind the fence there, and he'll bark and scare you really bad, and he's really ferocious. And because I loved my mother, I always crossed the street. I was afraid of the dog, but because I loved my mother. And then my mother said to me, here's a mother commandment concerning lollies lying on the footpath, okay? She said to me, buddy, if you ever see a lolly laying on the footpath, don't eat it. Now, she said that to me because she loved me. You wouldn't know what's inside a lolly. You wouldn't know who had it in their mouth before you got it in your mouth. You wouldn't know. And because she loved me, she warned me about it. She gave me commandments out of love. We'll talk about that later. And because I loved my mother, I loved lollies. Because I loved my mother more than I loved lollies, I said, I'm not going to eat that. I choose to obey that commandment because I love my mother. You know, dear friends, this is the key to obedience to the Ten Commandments. Do you love the author? Do you love God who gave us His Word? Because if I love the Lord, I find it so easy to say, no adultery, no stealing, no coveting, no bearing false witness. No, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go this way. We'll talk more in days to come about these things, but I want to leave this challenge with you this morning. The question about love for God is the Lord's stethoscope to listen to our heart to see if there is love for God, love for our neighbor, because love is the heartbeat of obedience to the commandments. We pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that we'll be able to digest these things. We know when we're young Christians, when we're baby Christians, or when we revert to being baby Christians after a time of growth, if we've backslidden, and we get back to where we're just eating soft food again, as you warn us in the Word. We know, Lord, that there are oftentimes things served up on the table, on the plate for us, that are too much for us to digest. But if we will eat what we can, if we'll receive what we can of what comes out of Your Word, our ability to chew meat, to be able to feed on the meat of the Word, will increase. And we're just asking for that, Lord. We understand from what we've read this morning that love for God is essential. Love for our neighbor is essential. Help us, Lord, to have this cry to God, Lord, shed abroad Your love in my heart more and more. Grow the fruit of the Spirit in my life more and more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.